I find all in life a pleasure, and life continues to give me more and more. I find all in life a pleasure, and life continues to give me more and more. I find all in life a pleasure, and life continues to give me more and more. I find all in life a pleasure, and life continues to give me more and more. Got it?
Yeah.
This is the thought for today. See you next week. This is the thought for the day. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, having a good time. I find all in life a pleasure, and life continues to give me more and more. This morning, as I was walking the meditation path, the 3 miles around the campus here, I was walking about 3:30 in the morning, and I'd already fed Rex and given him his breakfast, and I had my 2 20-ounce glasses of water, and I was ready for a nice trek around the path. I even had a great big orange ready, too. And it was kind of fun. So I left, and it was about 48 degrees, 47 degrees outside. And there was no moon, only stars, as has been the case these recent mornings. And so I step out the door from the bright lit house, and I look at the dark surroundings, and they're black. And I walk out the gate, give Rex his first treat. He's very happy. He's ready for the second treat. And we start walking toward our path. And as we walk toward our path, it's as though a giant floodlight shines out over where we're going. Really quite beautiful. And Rex is on the leash because at night, or in the darkness of the south side, I like to always know where he is. During the day, he can run and have fun oftentimes. That's good, too. But Rex and I were walking along, and he was telling me how much he enjoys being with me, how much he enjoys having me as his master, how much he enjoys living in our hermitage. He told me how much he enjoys the fenced-in yard and not having the 104 acres to take care of, but just the three or four acres in the fenced-in yard to take care of. He said that's just fine for him. And he keeps the bushes trimmed by biting off the branches that he feels should be chewed, and he has himself a good time. And I said to Rex, I said, you know, Rex, you are a perfect example to me of what an ideal person is. I said, you know, Rex, you are a person. Yes, you are a person. And he came in just now, but he looked at me as we were walking the path, and he said, that's true. He said, that's true. I am a person. And so I said, you know, Rex, you can teach us all a great lesson. And he said, that's your business. He says, I'm having fun. Because I don't teach anybody, I just be myself and have fun. Sort of like our, I find all in life a pleasure, and life continues to give me more. Well, that's what Rex finds, all life a pleasure, and it just continues to give him more. So, as I watched him, I saw him dart to the side with his leash and grab a stick. Not only a stick, he grabbed a bush. And he pulled the bush out by the roots and yanked it away. And it's quite long, maybe about 3 or 4 feet long. And here he is carrying it in his mouth. And he turned toward me and swoosh, he'd wipe it against me and turn the other way and hold it up in the air and just look at it and say, I have my special bush, my special thing here. And he was just enjoying himself beyond imagination. And I couldn't help but look at him and say to myself, what a lesson he is for me. What a lesson he is for me to live in the present, to live in the now. And so I thought about his living in the now, and I thought, hey, that's what we should really learn to do. Learn to live in the now. And as we learn to live in the now, then we're happy all the time. Now, Rex doesn't say, well, when I get back to the house, he'll take the leash off, and I can run around our property there, our fenced-in area. And then when it's time to go up to the monastery, I'll stand there ready, and he'll get the leash, and I'll wiggle my tail when he gets the leash, and I'll say, that's right, Dad, I know. We're taking the leash, and we're going up to the monastery. We're taking the leash and doing this. He loves the leash, because it tells him that I care about him at that instant to do what he wants to do. He had been sending me thoughts all the way along, saying, take me along, take me along, take me along. I'll go with you, because some days I leave him down at the Hermitage, because some days I feel that he gets a little rambunctious with our mini dogs, and he's a maxi dog. And the poor mini dogs, they love it, but they forget too that they're mini dogs. And when he puts his maxi paw on the mini dog, the mini dog disappears under his paw. He's quite a guy. But he doesn't recognize that. All he recognizes is he's having fun. He takes his back end and he pushes it against the button and he says, come on, let's play. And then he bounces up and down. You think Button should be the puppy and he should be the old dog because he's a big one. But Button is, what, 7 years old or something like that? And he is a mini schnauzer. And Love is a mini pincher. And they're small, you know, like little pipsqueaks with a big Rex. But again, what Rex does, he enjoys every moment of his life. He doesn't say, oh, when we get to this part on the path, we're going to do that. Oh, now, I can hardly wait for us to get to the opening of the door. I can hardly wait for, oh, I know when he gets to the meditation bench, he's going to give me a cookie, and then we'll both sit there quietly and meditate for a little while. Oh, I know that the next cookie comes at the next meditation bench. He didn't say that. He doesn't think about that. He thinks, he puts his nose up into my pocket as we walk along. He says, you know, Dad, you got cookies in there, and they really should be in my mouth, you know. And I say, I hold out the flat of my hand, and I say, that's a no. And then he dashes along. Okay, no problem. Thought I'd ask. can't hurt a guy from asking, you know. And so he just asks every once in a while, and I don't give in. I just say, no. And I don't say, later. I don't say, as soon as we get to the bench. I don't say any of those things, because there's only the now. There's only the now that he lives in. There's only the now that he's enjoying. There's only the now that he's wise enough. Oh, what wisdom. That he's wise enough to know. You see, when a dog is left alone, they're in the now. And they want to play. And they want to have fun. If you can train them, when they're left alone, they should just lay down, take their nap, which they take a lot of, and relax. And when you come home, get up and we'll play a little bit. But if you don't teach them that, then they want to get into mischief. And they want to say, this belongs to my dad. This is his sweater. I think I'll chew on it a little bit here and get to feel close to him, you know. Or here's his wonderful gloves. And I'll take one of them and I'll try to get my nose inside that glove. And if I can't get it inside, I'll cut the glove open with my teeth, you know, so that I can lay my nose in there. And you see, all he's doing is wanting to be close to somebody he loves. And when we train him, hey, the time for loving is that time when it's being done. And I walk along the path with him, and I just can't resist. He says, Dad, hug me. Dad, hug me. Dad, hug me. And I hadn't thought of hugging him, but all of a sudden, that urge comes over me to hug him. So I reach down and hug him. And he just soaks it up and he said, you take so long to hear me, you know. I'm talking to you and you take so long to hear me. But I am getting better. I get him on maybe the first or second call to come and hug him. And he loves it. Now, everybody says to me, Herb, you should hug us like you hug him. And I said, you should be so huggable. It's not that you're not huggable. It's that you have He wants to be hugged because he wants to be loved, period. He doesn't want anything or need anything. He just enjoys the activity. You, when you're being hugged, you say, oh, I needed that. Oh, that makes me feel so good. Oh, he doesn't feel better because he's hugged. He's always in a hugged state of consciousness. He's always in a state where he feels, hey, I'm at peace with myself. In the now. And this is what perhaps we could learn from our pets and from our people in our world. It is in the now. Learn to take it in the now. Ingeborg is such a silly old lady. She goes down to the Shangri-La, and she sees this stupid black cat down there that wants to do its own thing, wants to live out in the wild. And she takes it in her arms, and she loves it. And the cat says, okay, that's enough, you know, thank you very much. And she goes her way. She gets what she wants. The cat wanted her Ingeborg to come and love her. Ingeborg was sitting up here having dinner, and she had an urge to go down to the Shangri-La. She says, I got to go down to the Shangri-La. I forgot something down there. She goes down there, gives the kid a hug, and then comes back. Because they send out vibrations. They send out the now vibration. I want a hug now. Not because I need it, but just because I enjoy it. And I live my life that way, and that's what our statement is. I find all in life is a pleasure, and life continues to give me more and more and more. Where do you find yourself on this scale of activity? Where do you find yourself on this program where life is the allness? Where do you find yourself? Do you find yourself on the idea that you wish you had and you'd like to do it and this and that? That's where you find yourself? Well, think about it. Because that's a silly place to find yourself. And you're going to find yourself that way all your life. Because you do not deserve to be loved. You do not deserve to be enjoyed. You do not deserve to have, what do we say here, pleasure. You do not deserve it. And you know why you do not deserve it? Because you're not taking it every second of your life. And you're not giving it every second of your life. You're not in this ebb and flow of the purity of love and joy. And if ever we get angry, if ever we get upset, if ever we start thinking about our problems, we should have our head cut off, you know? We don't deserve to live because we're violating everything that we say we believe, as a man thinketh. We're violating everything. So let's begin right now to be the most unconditional loving being in the world. You say, well, how could we all be the most unconditional? Because we only guide ourselves by our own thought. You have no idea about other unconditionally loving people in this world and how wonderful they are. You have no idea. You know? Because you're unconditionally loving, so you see everybody unconditionally loving. And if you're not unconditionally loving, then you see everybody else not unconditionally loving. You think, what a crummy world, you know? Well, it's the world we create by who we are. And we create it in the now. This second. If you think of the past and the dumb things you did, if you think of the past and how unhappy you were over any circumstance in the past, and you think of it now, you're having it again. You just renew it, renew it, renew it, renew it. So rather than that, just think in the present of how wonderful it is. Look at your toes. Aren't they pretty? Look at your nose. Isn't that wonderful? Can't quite see it. Look at your face in the mirror. Ooh, what a glorious face. Wow. No wonder everybody loves me so much. I have such a lovely face, you know. My goodness sakes. And I cut my hair off, and I'm sure everybody who looked at it the first time thought, oh no, Herb, you had nice hair, you know. And that's true. I had nice hair, and now I have nice not hair. And I like that too. I can pull my shirt off, and I don't have to comb my hair down after I take my shirt off. I can go outside with my top down in my car, my little Miata convertible, and I don't have to wear a hat to keep my hair in place so that I can look like a banshee. But that's not the reason I cut it. I cut it because I felt like it. I was just trimming around the edge of my ears, and I thought, oh, heck. I took the clippers and went right straight back. And then I came up to the house here, and the girl said, oh, you cut your hair. What an interesting observation, huh? But you see, this is the wonderful thing about life. Be yourself and have fun. Do whatever your heart guides you to do. You're not hurting anybody. Can you imagine if all of us up here were to cut our hair off, what a silly-looking group we'd be? No. We'd just be ourselves. In the School of the Master, the three-month program we had here, some of them wanted to cut their hair off and some didn't. And those who wanted to cut their hair off looked amazingly beautiful when their beautiful scalp was out there. My goodness, you got a nice head, you know. Never saw it underneath all your hair. And other people who cut all their hair off, they shouldn't have. They had a phreniologist delight, you might say, who'd love to read the bumps on their scalp. But that's the fun of it. That's the fun of it. And every moment of our life should be like that. I find all in life a pleasure, and life continues to give me more and more by the second, by the instant, by the now, because that's the only time there is. Join with me in this awareness and have fun, because that's what life's all about. Isn't that right, Mr. Rex? Rex is lying underneath our glass table here. We can look down and see his beautiful golden fur coat, and we think, what a lovely fur coat. And we see his eyes. They have that I'm always perfect. I always do everything right. You know, they have that certain look about him. And his devil may care as he throws his ears across his head as he's turning around. And he's just a total free soul. And that's why I don't call Rex a dog. I call him a being. He's another being. He's another person. Right, Rex? Right. Have a lovely day. And remember that I'm thinking about you all the time. Happy, joyous, wonderful thoughts. And I love you. I love you. I love you.
Love you. Love you.